Please turn again in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 4. At the end of verse 7, we read these words. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Amen. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer with the Bible open before us. Let's ask the Lord again for his help as we come to consider God's truth this afternoon. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for all the mighty acts of our great God. We thank thee that we come before a God of miracles. And O God, even as we have seen in the course of these studies, how you divided the waters of the River Jordan for the children of Israel. And O God, we thank thee that you're still able to divide rivers. You're still able to do miracles. And we pray today, Lord, that the greatest miracles of all would take place in this house. The miracle of the new birth. That men and women might turn from their sin and seek the Lord and find eternal salvation. O God, we thank thee that that is the greatest miracle, God's salvation coming into the heart and life of the unregenerate. And O God, we pray for those therefore here who are still outside of Christ, that you would speak to their heart and draw them lovingly and tenderly to the foot of the cross. Lord, bless us, your own people. O God, we thank thee that when we turn to the sacred page, when we read the Bible, when we study the scriptures, it reminds us indeed again of how great our God is. And we pray, Lord, that we might get a vision of thy power even this day again. Come, Lord, and speak to our hearts. Fill us now afresh with your gracious, by your gracious Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. War memorials are something that we are all familiar with, especially on this Remembrance Sunday, when we remember all those who have laid down their lives in the cause of freedom and liberty. Indeed, war memorials built of stone are a feature in every town and city throughout this United Kingdom, and rightly so, because we must never forget the price and sacrifice others have paid to give us our free and our religious liberty. However, did you know that in the Bible, memorials played a great part during the history of the children of Israel? In this fourth chapter of the book of Joshua, after the Israelites crossed over the River Jordan, God commanded Joshua to build memorials. They were very simple memorials, made of stones, which were to be taken from the River Jordan. But they were very effective memorials, because we're going to see the great effect they had on the children of Israel as we study this passage of God's precious word. And very simply today, as we come to consider these memorials, and that's what I want to preach about today, the memorials that God commanded Joshua and the children of Israel to build after the crossing of the River Jordan. I want you to notice a number of things about these memorials, and I pray that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts, because there is a message here for each and every one of us. A very clear message, but a very wonderful message. And I pray that the Lord will write his word upon all of our hearts today, as we have met here in God's house, that the Lord will come and speak to each and every one of our hearts and every one of our souls. And what do we learn about these memorials? Look what it says at the end of verse 7. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. The first thing that we learn here is this: the purpose of
the memorials? Why were these memorials set up? Why did God command Joshua to build these memorials? Well, we have the answer in verses 6 and 7. Take a look what it says at the beginning of verse 6. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones or these memorials? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. Now we all know what the word memorial means. It means remembrance. Therefore, these stones that were set up as memorials by Joshua were a reminder to the children of Israel of the great work God did for them in the crossing of the River Jordan. These memorials, in other words, were a sign for the generations to come to remind them what God had done for his people at the River Jordan. The children of Israel were never to forget what God had done for them at Jordan. Now, for the benefit of those who weren't with us last Sunday morning, God did a mighty miracle for the children of Israel at Jordan. And if you take the time to read the previous chapters, you will see the great miracle that God did for his people, because he divided the River Jordan for the children of Israel so that the children of Israel could walk across the river and into the promised land. And it was a unique miracle, and it was a special miracle, and it was a miracle whereby the nation of Israel saw the power of God demonstrated in a most unique way. And after they crossed Jordan, God told Joshua to take these stones, and they were to be set up as a memorial. Now, we're going to see just in a moment that there were two memorials set up. But these memorials were to be set up, and the purpose for them was so that the children of Israel would never forget what God had done for them at the River Jordan. Now, the children of Israel needed reminders of God's blessings, because they often quickly forgot what God had done for them in the past. Now, let me show you this. Just keep your hand in Joshua chapter 4 there, and turn over to Judges chapter 8, and look what it says there in verse 34 of Judges chapter 8. It says, and the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. You see, the children of Israel were a nation that forgot. They forgot about what God had done for them in the past. They forgot about his mighty works. And when you read through the book of Judges, you will learn that time and time and time again. When one generation passed and another generation arose, the generation arose, the new generation, they forgot what God had done for their forefathers in a past day. Therefore, when Joshua took these stones and set them up as a memorial in Joshua chapter 4, after the children of Israel passed over the River Jordan, these memorials were set up so that the nation would never forget what God did for them at the River Jordan. Why is it so important to remember what God has done in the past? Because remembering God's blessings of past days encourages and strengthens our faith in the God of heaven, which improves our relationship with the Lord. And God knew this. And that's the reason why these stones were set up as memorials. Not only to remind the generations that were to come what God had done in the past, But in remembering what God had done in the past, that would encourage and strengthen their faith for the battles ahead. Every generation was to be taught the meaning of the stones or the memorials, lest they forgot about the goodness and mercy of God. The children of Israel needed to be reminded. And each generation needed to be reminded. Look again what it says in verse 6 of chapter 4 of Joshua. That this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, "What mean ye by these stones?" then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off. Each generation would be able to see these memorials. And even when generations passed, the stones would still be there as a sign, reminding each generation of what God had done by the river Jordan. That's why, of course, we have war memorials. Any type of memorial, we set them up to remind us. And of course, we should never forget. And that's why we have had this Remembrance Sunday ever since the First World War, to remind each generation of the price that others have paid in the cause of freedom and liberty. But you can see here that in the nation of Israel, memorials were set up, and they were set up to remind the children of Israel of God's great power. Child of God, never forget what God has done for you in the past. Now, here's a message here for each and every one of us who are saved and love the Lord. The Lord has blessed us in so many different ways, but like the children of Israel, we're apt to forget. We're apt to forget the goodness of the Lord. We're apt to forget the mercy of the Lord. But you know, child of God, we should never forget what the Lord has done for us in the past. And especially if you're going through a hard time now. And of course, the Lord doesn't promise us a bed of roses to heaven. There'll always be the valley experience after the mountaintop experience. But you know, when you're in the valley, it's so easy to forget about the mountaintop. Very easy to forget about the blessings of God when things are going hard. But listen, it's when times are hard and when the valley experience comes and when you're facing the obstacles again that you remember the goodness of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord. And of course, throughout the Word of God, God exhorted His people to remember. Just turn over in your Bibles to Psalm 105 for a moment and look with me there at verse 5. And this is what it says. Here's what the psalmist says to the people of God. He says, "Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." We are to remember the marvelous works that God has done. You and I are to remember His marvelous works. And of course, if you take a look there at Psalm 20 and verse 7, you'll read these words. "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Not only are we to remember the marvelous works that He has done, but as God's people, we are to remember the name of the Lord our God. We're to remember that He is a living God. We're to remember that He is the God of creation. We're to remember that He is the Almighty. We're to remember His name. And of course, you'll know that the name Lord in capital letters means Jehovah. And the children of Israel were exhorted to remember the name Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. And thank God today, the Lord has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And when we remember His name and think upon His name, that teaches us that wonderful truth that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Of course, in Exodus 20, I'm not going to turn to it, in verse 8, we're told to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In Psalm 89 and verse 47, we are to remember how frail we are. We're to remember our time upon this earth. Let me just read you that verse in Psalm 89 and verse 47. Remember how short my time is, the psalmist says. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Remember how short my time is. That's something that we need to remember. Men and women, we're not here forever. Soon the time will come when we will die and leave this earth, go out into the great eternity. We're to remember that we are but dust, and to dust we shall return. That's why it's so important to prepare for death and for judgment and to be saved. Of course, Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1 tells us that we're to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. And there's a message for young people. Remembering your Creator in the days of your youth. The purpose of the memorials in Joshua chapter 4, they were to remind the children of Israel of God's power and God's mercy. They were not to forget what God had done for them. There's something else I want you to notice. Turn back again to Joshua chapter 4. And I want you to notice not only the purpose of the memorials, but I want you to notice the locations of the memorials. Now, after the children of Israel crossed the River Jordan, there were two memorials set up. Now, I wonder, did you notice where these two memorials were set up? One of the memorials were set up in Gilgal. The other memorial was set up in the River Jordan itself. Now, look at verse 3. Command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Now, where did they lodge that night? Well, take a look there at verse 19 and 20, and you'll see where they lodged that night. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. So the first memorial was set up in Gilgal. Now we're going to say more about that in a moment. But look where the second memorial was set up. Look at verse 9. And Joshua set up stones, 12 stones, in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there unto this day. So the first memorial was set up in Gilgal. The second memorial was set up in the River Jordan itself. Now Gilgal, to get back to that place or that location, was some 6 or 7 miles from the River Jordan. After crossing the Jordan, the children of Israel went straight to Gilgal. Gilgal, for the benefit of those who don't know, became the headquarters for Israel when they were conquering the land of Canaan. Now, I'm not going to take the time to turn you to all the references. I'll read them out. Chapter 9, verse 6. Chapter 10, verse 6, verse 15, verse 43, chapter 14, verse 6. And all those references in Joshua, it will prove that Gilgal was the headquarters for the children of Israel as they looked forward to conquering the promised land, the land of Canaan. Therefore, Gilgal was a good place for a memorial. It was a significant location, because the people saw the memorial continually as they went about their duties. Gilgal also played a major part in Israel's latter history. It was the place where Saul was crowned king, 1 Samuel 11. It was one of the places where Samuel the prophet went year by year in his circuit as he was the judge of Israel. And as a judge, he went from Gilgal from year to year. 1 Samuel 7, verse 16. It was the place where Samuel announced that the kingdom would be taken from the family of Saul because of his disobedience. And Gilgal was the place where Samuel slew Agag for his sin, 1 Samuel 15. So Gilgal was a good place for a memorial. It was a place where the nation frequented. It was a place where each tribe went continually. Therefore, they would have seen the memorial every time they went to Gilgal. It was a good place for a memorial. But this riverbed didn't seem to be such a good place for a memorial that we read about in verse 9. You might ask me, why set a memorial up in Jordan? Surely it would have been under the water, therefore could not be seen. Well, the answer is simple. Although it was under water, it was not invisible. The actual stones might not be seen, but the stones would cause a great ripple in the water as they flowed over the memorial. Therefore, people could look out on the Jordan and see the commotion of the water which the stones would cause, and see the very place where the priests stood as the children of Israel crossed over Jordan. And then they would remember, there is where the miracle took place. That's why I believe the memorial was set up in Jordan. Look what it says in verse 9. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Now, of course, having two memorials would emphasize the certainty of the miracle that God had done. Isn't that right? It was double evidence of the mighty work that God had done for his people at the River Jordan. A memorial in Gilgal and a memorial on the riverbed in the River Jordan. A double memorial, which would emphasize the certainty of the miracle that God had done. You know, men and women, God always gives double evidence for who he is and for what he has done. You know, many people today don't believe in God, and they don't believe that the Bible's true, and they don't believe that there's a God in heaven, and they believe that when you die, that's the end of you. You're just put into a grave and you've no existence. And yet the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Could I say today that there is a God, and he's alive forevermore, and he's seated upon the throne of glory. There is a God. And we have a double evidence that there's a God. We have a double evidence. First of all, we have the Bible. The first evidence and the most important evidence that there's a God is the Holy Scriptures. The Word of God. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The Bible is God's eternal memorial to who he is and to what he has done. If you want to know who God is, then read the Bible. The Bible will tell you. If you want to know what God has done and what God is doing and what God is going to do in the future, then read the Bible. The Bible, the Word of God, declares the existence of God and his mighty works. Isn't it wonderful that we have before us today the inerrant, the infallible, the incorruptible, the inspired Word of God? I believe the Bible is the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. I believe that the Bible not only contains the Word of God. Some people believe that the Bible only contains the Word of God. But I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Every word, every jot, and every tittle. God breathed Therefore, if you want to know how to get to heaven, read the Word of God. If you want to know how to escape hell, read the Word of God. If you want to know how to be saved, read the Word of God. You want to know how to have your sins forgiven? The Bible has the answer. If you want to know more about God and how sinners can meet God and find God, and of course they meet God and find God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, then turn to the precious Word of God. Here's the greatest memorial that we have to the existence, to the power of God. But then there's a second evidence. Keep your hand in Joshua chapter 4 and turn over with me just for a moment to Psalm 19. The first evidence and the most important evidence that there's a God is the Holy Word, His Holy Word. But the second evidence is creation itself. Now, we have to say, it's a lesser evidence, just like that memorial that was put in the river. You could just see the little ripple above the memorial as the river ran over it. It wasn't just as clear as the memorial in Gilgal. It was the main memorial, it was the main evidence that God had done a mighty work amongst His people at the River Jordan. But nevertheless, look what it says in Psalm 19 verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. The heavens declare the glory of God. You know, friend, the thing that baffles me is how these so-called scientists, when they study the stars and study the earth and study the universe and they study animals and they... You've seen these nature programs. They're on weekly. And all their lives they study nature. And yet at the end of it all they believe in evolution and they tell us that there's no God. It just goes to prove that without the entrance of God's word, sinful man will not have light. And yet, those of us who are saved, we can look around us at nature. We can see the stars. We can see the moon and we can see the sun. We can see the trees and the forests. We can see the grass. We can see the animals. And we can see the wonder of God's creation. And it's an evidence to us that there's a God in heaven. Isn't it wonderful how the Bible declares that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork? And yet, although the evidence is clear, and although it is a double evidence, still sinners refuse to believe the clear evidence that is given. And even in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, how many times have you and I been told that Jesus Christ did not exist, that He was not the Son of God, that He did not die upon a cross, that He did not rise again? My friend, there's a wonderful verse in Acts 1 verse 3. Listen to these words. It says, to whom also He showed Himself. That's the Lord Jesus. He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs. Many infallible proofs. In other words, no one could question the evidence that was given by the Savior. And yet men today still refuse to believe that He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And although the cross is empty, and although the tomb is empty, and although the Bible declares clearly that someday He is coming again, people refuse to believe it. My friend, the Bible is a memorial of God's existence and God's creation. Creation itself is a memorial. And the next time you look on the stars or the space, look upon it as a memorial. It's God's memorial to who He is and what He has done. Now there's something else, and this is very important, and I know time's almost away, but I don't want you to miss this. Turn back to Joshua chapter 4. The purpose of the memorials. The locations of the memorials. Notice the individuals who carried the memorials. Why did you notice that? Take a look again at verse 4. Then Joshua called 12 men. Underline that. 12 men. Whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder. Look at verse 8. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. 12 men, one man out of each tribe of Israel, had to lift one stone each from the river Jordan and carry that stone all the way to Gilgal, which was about 6 or 7 miles. Now I want you to notice very quickly a number of things about these men. First of all, they were called to do this work. Verse 4 tells us that. And Joshua called the 12 men. These men were called to carry stones. Now just think about that. We have already read about men carrying an ark. And what an important responsibility that was to carry the ark of the Lord. And it had to be carried by the Levites. Well, these men are not asked to carry an ark. They're asked to carry stones. Quite a contrast. But they were called to carry those stones. They weren't called to carry the ark. They were called to carry stones. Notice something else. They were men who were prepared for this task. That's what verse 4 says. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. These were strong men. Because when you take a look at verse 5 in the middle part of it, it tells us there that they had to put the stone upon their shoulder. They just didn't go to the riverbed and lift out a little pebble and put it into their pocket and say, right, we'll remember you there when we get to Gilgal. And then when they got to Gilgal, they took the stone out of their pocket and they placed it upon the memorial. No, these stones were huge. They had to be huge if they were going to be an effective memorial. If the people were going to walk into Gilgal and see it, it was going to have to be an effective memorial. Therefore, the stones were huge. And it took strong men to carry these stones. And they could only carry one at a time. So they were prepared men. And they were called men. Could I say something else about these men? They were men who were willing to do the task. They were willing to carry stones. My friend, you get many people today among God's people and they'll be willing to carry the ark. But there'll not be too many who'll be willing to carry the stones. But as far as God was concerned, the stones were very important. Because they were going to set up His memorial. They were willing to carry stones. And notice also that they were men who finished the work that God called them to do. Look with me there at verse 19 or verse 20. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. In other words, those 12 strong men lifted those stones from the river Jordan and they carried them on their shoulders 6-7 miles to Gilgal, and they carried them right to Gilgal to the place where the memorial was going to be set up. They finished the work that God had called them to do. These men were strong in body and they were courageous in heart, and they were not ashamed to stand up for God, and they were willing to carry stones. What do we learn here? Very quickly, we learn this. God uses all types of people for all types of jobs. Child of God, whether God has called you to preach and stand in the pulpit, or whether God has called you to give out hymn books at the door coming in, whether he has called you to be a missionary, or whether he has called you to hand out a tract during the week to some sinner, whatever God has called you to do, whether he has called you to carry the ark or whether he has called you to carry stones, do it, and do it with all your heart, and do it with all your might, and do it with all your strength, because God uses different types of people to do different types of jobs. Who would have thought that God would have needed men to carry stones in his service? And they were the only men that could do that task because of their physical strength. Child of God, whatever talent you have, God can use it in his work and for his glory. But whatever talent God has given you, make sure you use it for God. You may not be able to preach and stand before a congregation, but maybe you could go and help missionaries build a house or a school or a church. You may not be able to teach in a Sunday school class or speak in the open air, but at the very least, you could carry stones. Notice that the work that these men did, it was a lasting work. Did you notice that? Not only was it a finished work, but it was a lasting work. Look at verse 9. It says, the latter part of it, and they are there unto this day. The work they did lasted for generations to come. And also that memorial that was set up in Gilgal, it lasted for many, many generations to come. Oh, child of God, the Lord has saved us. He saved us to serve him. Don't be ashamed to do the little tasks for God. Don't be ashamed to carry stones. If you're asked to do something in the work of God, do it with all your heart and with all your might. It says here, you know, that Joshua prepared these men. He prepared them. I don't know how he prepared them. I don't know whether he got them trained up and that they had to carry stones before this. I don't know. But they were prepared. Oh, whatever the Lord asks us to do in his service, let us do it with all our might. The memorials. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the word of God. And O Lord, we thank thee for the Bible, the precious scriptures of truth, which are able to make men wise unto salvation. We thank thee, Lord, for this mighty memorial that we have. O God, I pray that you'll help us to read it more and study it more and believe it more and put it into practice in our lives more. Bless every head bowed in your presence. And O God, never let us forget what you've done for us in Christ. We thank thee for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, your only begotten Son, to die upon the cross for our sins. We thank thee that he rose again. And we thank thee, O God, that he's able to save to the uttermost all that come to him. Save souls this day in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.